When Pastor said I get to preach on missions next month, I about did a backflip there. That's my favorite thing to preach on, so I'm looking forward to that. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And so, we're going to talk about a good name. What do people, not your mama and your daddy, but what do people think when they hear your name? I want you to think about that a little bit. What do they think when they hear your name? Do they think of someone that's gracious and goodness and kindness and faithfulness? Is your name sweet to their ears and to their thoughts? Do they think I sure would like to see that person again? Do they crave your company? Or when you hear a name, your name, is there bitter thought? Do they think harsh things? Do they think of selfishness, stubbornness, moodiness? Do they think of lack of discretion? When your name is mentioned, as you're coming to town or going to be over, do you avoid that person? Do those persons avoid you? Sometimes parents, in training their children, will point out the virtuous things about others as an example. But sometimes they'll use a person's name as a bad example. Don't be like that. And so, think about our name. What's your name worth to you? If we say, well, I don't really care what other people think about me, that's really a foolish statement. God says here in His inspired word, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And so, if we think about that, then I should really work harder at maintaining a good name than obtaining riches. More important is not my money, but my legacy I will leave behind as far as my name. And so, some thoughts in this passage that lays it right at our heart's door to self-examine and to begin to think about some things. One of the things that I want you to realize is that when we talk about a good name, it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone's going to like you. Look over in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 26. In Luke 6:26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. And so, if everybody speaks well of you, then that says a pretty big volume about you. A person who can fit in every crowd is not someone you want as your best friend. And so, we're not talking about people necessarily liking you. A good name speaks of having favor of good men. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Speaking about the youth of Samuel. And in verse 26, it says, and Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And so he had a good name. And he's particularly favored with the Lord and favored with men. He has a good name. Jesus set the example in Luke chapter 2. He said, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And so here Samuel, and even when Jesus, that was way early in his life, maybe around 12 years old, and people noted that, and he was in favor with man. Yesterday, after we'd made some visits, and it was our job, Susie's job, I watch her, but she had to mop the fellowship hall, and somebody's dog. I'm sure it's probably a black dog, but I don't know so sure it's a pastor's dog. But somebody's dog got into the garbage, and it was all over out there, and Rhea and Jovi were out there riding bicycles and stuff, and so I come out and start picking it up, and I have to go back in and get some garbage bags, and when I come back, Rhea's just down there with her bare little hands and just picking up garbage like crazy, and she stayed until it was done. I didn't ask him to do it or anything, and that's with me. I was telling her dad this morning, you know, some kids just like to work, and that's a good, you're going to get a good name if you do. If you don't like to work, work anyway. But it's, you know, these, when it talks about Samuel and it talks about Jesus, they did things that adults noticed, and they were in favor. You know, that's Samuel's a good little boy. That Samuel's going to become something. He and I'm sure that part of that was in his raising, but he had a good name. When we think about having a good name, of course, as it says here, he was in favor with God and man, and surely what should come first and foremost in our lives is to be pleasing to the Lord. It says in John chapter 5 and verse 44, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? And so he was warning them and said, you know, just to try to get a appeal from others and get approval from others is not the primary thing. The most important thing is to receive honor from the Lord and obeying and doing what God would have us to be, and that's the primarily importance. And so a good name really, you know, it really doesn't matter it doesn't matter, but what I'm going to try to say here is that the thing that should matter most is, am I pleasing the Lord? And if you please the Lord, there's going to be some people who don't like your name. But those people are not the primary ones that are of importance. It's godly men that we want to please. And so we ought to strive to get the honor of God. Now, though our standing with God is primary, this verse teaches us that a good name would be what other people think. And so I just want you to think here this morning, but if you think about your name, we're not thinking about necessarily your education or anything. How would you rate yourself today? Is it an A? A B? A C, a D, an F, or, you know, dropped out of class. how do you rate yourself as far as a good name? A, B, C, D, or F. Well, you want to be humble, so you'll say C or something. No, how do you? But you really know you're an A. How do you rate yourself? Well, let me say this. It really doesn't matter much how you rate yourself. It's how other people see you. And that's what the Bible surely teaches. You see, really, if you would think about people that you, they're a good name to you. They have a good name to you. There are people who really are people who don't think much about themselves at all. Understand what I'm saying? The other people are first in their lives. Those are people that have a good name. They're not takers or givers. They're not always wanting to, you know, get up close to you, become your friend so they can use you. So they can obtain benefits from you. But a person with a good name wants to benefit you. They want to be a blessing to you. Now look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 and verse 3. In Philippians 2 and 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. It's not saying here that we think bad of ourselves. It's not saying here that we think that we're dirtbags. But really what it's saying is that we don't think much about ourselves. We're esteeming others better than ourselves. And look, not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. James in chapter 4 and verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace, where they saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, said, for I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not meant to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But if we would look at the New Testament, the greatest influence on mankind from the men that God used to write the New Testament is Paul. But he had a clear understanding that it's by the grace of God he was what he was. Let's look at some examples in the Bible of men who had good names. Look in the third epistle of John, there right before Revelation. The third epistle. And the 12th verse. It says, Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. And so Demetrius, when the name Demetrius was brought out or mentioned, he had a good report, and not only of his person, but of the truth itself. He was a man who not only had the word of God, and God infected his life and affected his life, infected him, he got into him completely and affected his life, but he was a man who had a good report on truth. He stood by the word of God, not compromising and not quitting. Look in Acts 16. And verse 1 and 2, it gives us some information about this man Timothy, who was a part of Paul's missionary team. And the first two verses of Acts 16, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. And so here's a young man who seems as though his father's not much involved in his life. Whether his father is still alive, we don't know. We know it talks about he learned the ways of salvation from his mother and his grandmother. But here's a young man that the brethren looked at, he's of course it tells us plainly that he's a disciple. implying also that we know that he was a younger person, and not from this verse, but from others. But he was well reported of by the brethren. He had a good name. He had some potential. And later on, Paul's going to say of Timothy, "For this cause I've sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every place." And so, good name. When we speak the name of Joseph, what do you think about that? Well, he was a young man who had plenty of opportunities to commit fornication, to let the flesh reign in his life, but Joseph had a good name. And you wonder how all that came about, you know? His mom and his dad, when they were living, must have really implanted some things into his mind. But when you think about Potiphar's wife, what do you think about? A loose woman, huh? A liar. A woman out for herself. There's a girl in the Bible by the name of Tamar, who was the daughter of David, a virgin daughter, a one who kept her chastity about her, and even tried to speak to her half-brother and how they could do things together to have a marriage that would be right and proper. But Amnon, her brother, when we think of that name, he raped his sister. And after he raped his sister, basically he just dumped her. Paul's name stands out as a faithful warrior. But how many people want to name their child Demas? Anybody? Are you guys choosing that name if it's a boy? No. A name matters. Demas had forsaken the work of the Lord. Elijah and John the Baptist, we think of as men who stood alone, and men who stood firm, and men who stood to where they gave their lives. And thinking of John the Baptist, looking at the king of the land and telling him, "You're the man. You know what you've done is wrong. It's wrong to take your brother's wife." And they're a great testimony of truth. But what about Pilate and Agrippa? Well, they're surely dirt bags. I don't know very many. Have you ever heard of any child named Pilate? I haven't. Abigail. When we think about Abigail, we think about a woman who was godly, a woman who tried to keep King David from committing crime against killing her husband. But when you think about Nabal, I always wondered about that, but the Bible, the word Nabal means a fool, and he was a fool, and we don't know, was his name given after he died or before he died? Not too many parents would name their kid a fool, but he is. When you speak the name Nabal, it's a fool. And so our text says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Look in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 7 and verse 1. We found in our text that a good name is rather to be had than riches. In chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. And so, a good name. You see, each of us Each of us are building a reputation. For 68 years, I've built a reputation. And over time, as we grow, become adults, and we go to work and start a family, we're building a reputation. But do you know, and do you realize, in building a reputation, that in less than 5 minutes, you can destroy your reputation? And all that's went before that can fall apart. I've known and heard of pastors who've pastored for 10 or 15 years, maybe longer, and their whole reputation is destroyed in a moment of lust. You can destroy your reputation. And the deal about that is, it's a double effort to rebuild it back. Cicero, the great Roman politician of the first century, said, to disregard what the world thinks of us is not only arrogant, but it's utterly shameless. Not even a Christian, but realizing that our lives leave some kind of a testimony. Edgar Howe, an American journalist in the 1900s, said, what people say behind your back is your standing in the community. What people think about you at your funeral says a lot about your life. David wept over Jonathan. Look in 1 Samuel, chapter, or 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 1. It's real quiet in here. I don't know if you guys are all sleeping or what. 1 Samuel chapter 1. How come it's so quiet? All the kids are quiet. And David lamented, 1 Samuel 1:17. And David lamented with the lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. And also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. And the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How art the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gibeah, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, and as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back. The sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than the eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. Well, he's talking about the greatness of this man, Jonathan. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. The love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. And how art the mighty fallen, and where in the weapons of war perished. And so he remembered their wonderful friendship. and how that Jonathan took off his robe and gave it to David, and how Jonathan listened to his father and went out into the field and shot the arrows and said, go beyond, and giving the signal to David to flee for his life. Well, what do they say about you after you die? Look in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there. They sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper room, and the widow stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, rise. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. And so a wonderful miracle. But what I'm pointing out here is that people missed her. They loved her. They wanted her to be around. And so we're asking, you know, what's your funeral going to be like? And I realize that not all circumstances would even allow for a funeral. I'm sure when Paul died, you know, everyone had forsaken him. He dies in prison, and probably not very many people were there. But his name was remembered. But where the contrast really comes is how people think about the death of those who don't have a good name. Look in Psalms 49. In Psalms 49, verse 6. Psalms 49 and 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever, and not see corruption. For he seeth that the wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations, and they shall call lands after their own names. This is, you know, the King Ranch in Texas. This is whatever, you know. The Keyses have always owned this property, and now no Keyses own any of that property that were my relatives. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beast that perisheth, that perish, and their ways is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings, Selah. And he says, like sheep, they're laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. Well, their death didn't leave much for them to be remembered by. I'll go back to Ecclesiastes again. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 8 and 10, it says, and I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. That, you know, the life is short. I'm pretty sure that I know who my grandfather was, but I don't know who my great-grandfather was. And I surely don't know who my great-great-grandfather was. Life's short and it's over. And so, in our topic, let's leave a good name as much as we can. And remember that a godly life, the Bible talks about this clearly, that a godly life can affect others till the third and fourth generation. that what we leave behind can affect the generation that's going to come from behind. But look at some very drastic cases here. Look in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles and 24 and 16. 2 Chronicles 24:16. Let's look in verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And so he lived a long life. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. And so he was known as a good king, and his burial was commendable. Now look over in Jeremiah, the prophet. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and look in chapter 22, and Jeremiah chapter 22, another king of Israel being discussed, and here's what it says in Jeremiah 22:19: He shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. And then go over to 36 and verse 30. Drawn, I think, means cut up. And then 36 and verse 30. Okay. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat and in the night to the frost. What's it saying? It's saying that they didn't even bury him. They just threw him out. And so what we're saying is, when we're talking about a good name rather to be had than great riches, we're talking about one of the things that really indicate what people thought of you is your funeral. Josiah, who brought revival to Judah, was lamented and wept over by Jeremiah for days. But Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin, had his family taken away, like the Bible talks, like dung, without natural deaths and decent burials. Saul, who was God-forsaken and profane to the end, committed suicide. His head was cut off, his body fastened to a wall, and then buried. The bones were buried under a tree. But David, who was God's man, died in bed. He knew that his son would reign, and his throne would be established, and he was given a great burial, and people wept over him. And in fact, David's name was so popular that whenever the Bible talks about the other kings, and they're good kings or bad kings, they'll say he did that which was like what David did, or he did not follow in the ways of David, and he did wickedly. And so David wasn't a perfect man. David sinned, but David, even after sin, was able to maintain his name, and we'll look at that a little bit here before we close. What time is it anyway? 5 minutes? Okay, I'll talk fast. But I remember when my father died in a little town in eastern Oregon. Fossil, Oregon only had like 600 people. But when they had my father's funeral, there was a standing room only upstairs, and people kept coming in and coming in. And they filled up the basement, and people were waiting outside. And he had a good name. And I'll probably take advantage of this, but I named my son after my father for a reason. And I'm expecting him to have a good name. And a good name. It does matter what people think of you. A good name is to be had rather than riches. And we've already said that we work very, 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 very hard to obtain riches, but we ought to work harder that we maintain our name. Okay, so how do we build a good name? Well, we must avoid all appearances of evil. Look in Ecclesiastes. Okay, you got to turn fast because I got 5 minutes. 4 minutes. All right. You can hand over your watch, Jackie. Ecclesiastes 10:1. Look at this. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly that is a that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Well, avoid the appearance of evil. 2 Thessalonians reminds us to avoid that appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearances of evil. You're not going to have a good name hanging around 2 Street and the bars. You're not going to have a good name hanging around being named among others. Susie always told our kids, don't be named among them. Don't be named among them. And that's good advice. Stay away from them. But don't be named among them. Well, secondly, to obtain a good name, when we wrong someone, we should quickly make amends. I don't have time to look at all these verses, but Matthew chapter 5, you know, if you come to the altar to offer a sacrifice, say, Lord, and you know that someone has something against you, go and get it straight before you offer your sacrifice. A good name. I mean, you can wrong someone, and people can, and that person can be mad at you, but when you go and you say to them right up front, you know what I did was wrong, and I'm sorry. And I'm going to go beyond sorry. How can I make amends? How can I make it right? How can I replace this thing? Or how can I? What can I do to clear the air? Well, you know what? They'll remember that, and your name is not about being perfect, but your name is about being upfront. Do we have a name that's building lives of others? Men love those who build their lives. Let's go back to Proverbs. I might have to make 2 lessons out of this. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27 and verse 9 says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. A good name counsels people. We kind of live in a day when we don't want to step out and challenge another brother in the Lord or another sister in the Lord, or say, brother, why don't you think about this? Do you know where this could be headed? And we just say, well, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. They're making their own decisions. Let them, you know, they're adults. But no. Aren't you thankful for men who came to you and challenged you and say, you know, you need to really think about this, and how important and how much that blessed you? Look in chapter 11 and verse 30. Chapter 11 and verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Well, we can become a tree of life to others. Look in chapter 9 and verse 8. Chapter 9 and 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Verse 25 of this same chapter. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteousness is an everlasting foundation. Man, that's a pretty powerful verse. The whirlwind just goes on, and they are like the wicked and they're no more, but the righteous builds a foundation, and it's important. Okay, just let me give you the headlines here. Use your mouth to build up others and not to tear them down. Have a good name. Practice, you know, love suffers long, is patient, all that in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Be a giver and not a taker. I showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. To have a good name, we need to confess our sins. If we confess, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. To have a good name, we need to work at it. We exercise our bodies with a little profit, but exercise the godliness. Can a person restore their name? Yes, indeed. Think of Mary Magdalene. What was she known as? She was a whore on the street. But she got saved. And she washed Jesus' feet and wiped them off with her hair. And her name goes down in history. Consider David. He was guilty of adultery. He murdered one of his most loyal soldiers, but he repented, and God covered his sins, and he's known as the great psalmist of Israel. He paid for him, he reaped. And so, a good name. In your pursuit of riches and making a place in life, have you considered building a reputation? What are you doing now to build a good name? A good name could be you show up at work every day. What kind of name do you have? What do your peers think of you? When they hear your name, do they think of it as a committed man or a compromising man? When your name is brought up, are you a flirt or are you an example of purity? When your name is brought up, are you that, you know, good old boy, happy-go-lucky, or is there a sober-mindedness about you? When your name is brought up, do they think of someone who only cares about his self-esteem, or does he care about esteeming others better than himself? And so, it matters what other people think of you. And they've already said, not everybody, if you're going to live godly, all those that live godly are going to suffer persecution. So we can't please everybody. But we can please the Lord. And those people who matter are going to speak of you with reverence. And that he was a good man. Isn't that really what we're all striving for? Is someday we'll stand before our Savior and he will say, well done. A good and faithful servant. And so we live in a day when people don't care and people run over others and people say, well, I am what I am. No, by the grace of God, we are what we are. And our lives ought to reflect that grace, okay? All right, get ready. I'm going to be preaching on missions. No, I'll be teaching on missions. All right, you're dismissed.